I'm not so sure about the deer could be in the Raman. Posek. Posek. No, I don't know if it's a good deer. But you could say it's Posek. He always considers it Posek. Because he just says Posek Umaschil, and then he just says Umeshev. But he's still going back on the Posek. Okay. Anyhow. So where are we up to now? Okay, so basically what we were doing yesterday is the theory we were operating on is that if you have a halacha, or it really applies to anything, that is the interaction between two different things. So a truer knowledge of that interaction would be had if you first analyze the things on their own. And you should be able to, if you get a good understanding of what each one is on its own characteristics, then it should be something that should help you to understand the interaction better. In other words, it's a mistake to focus on the event. That's the mistake. Don't focus on the event. Focus on the forces, the forces themselves. And that should give you a better understanding of how the interaction would occur. And then if you are, it's a question of reverse engineering. If you break it down into its parts, and you can show how it would make sense to react this way, then you have a good theory. And Sheila Shalom? In other words, we're dealing with the interaction of two things. We're dealing with saying Kriya Shema, and then Shalom. Those are two different things, right? So we were saying that each one you could show has a certain each one has an idea of a point where you consider to be a maskil and then a point where you consider to be a mashlam. Okay, so it comes out like this. I think you can formulate three postulates over here, right? To explain the phenomena. Right? Three postulates? Sounds like a lot. But anyway, three postulates. What are the three postulates? We said that yesterday. After Shir. I don't know. I think after Shir we said we had another one, didn't we? So it would be what? It would be that there is a... what were the two? No. So it'd be like this, when there's a question between being mashlim or being maschil, we favor being mashlim. Okay, maybe it's only two. You're right. When there's a question of being mashlim or being maschil, we favor being mashlim. And when it's equal, we favor kavod. Those two rules will carry you through. Right? So how does it work out? So in terms, let's start with the second one first. When they're equal, so that means you're in the middle of the parsha, so you have to be mashlim. So if someone who you chayav kavod to asks you, shalom, so now you're in a state of equality between mashlim kriya shma and mashlim the shela. So kavod wins out. Or if you're be'emtza, if you're bein perek leperek, so now you're also a maschil the perek or a maschil mitnei kavod. So kavod wins out. Okay. And the other rule is that we always favor being mashlim. So that means if you're in the middle of a perek and someone who's mechubad appears, you cannot be maschil. You must be mashlim the parak. And if you're bein perek l'perek, and even a regular guy asks you for shalom, right, you have to be mashlim. Okay? Okay, now what kind of sense does this make? So basically we have to analyze the two rules, right? So you have to see what kind of sense they each make. So I think the question about being mashlim versus being maschil, I don't know if you can really give a svara for that. I mean, it's the type of thing. Let me say again. Let me reiterate what we were saying the other day. This is the type of a question of a judgment call. This is not what we normally do. This is not the type of analysis that we normally engage in. Normally, we engage in an analysis of defining the structure of the thing, right? And we're dealing with puzzle or kasher, right? Is it the maisa of? Is it a sukkah? Is it not a sukkah? Is it an erev? Is it not an erev? Right? We're dealing with the definitions of the entities themselves. Right? This is a different kind of a question. This is a different kind of question. Because the entities are not in danger. The entity is not in danger. The Krishna is not in danger. It's a question of propriety. It's a question of propriety. The question is, what's the proper thing to do? Chazal had to estimate what's the proper thing to do. Okay? So we can only sort of be a backseat driver here. We can observe what they did and try to see why, what kind of sense it makes to favor one thing over the other. You understand? It's a different kind of analysis. BMAC? Right? What can we do? I know you like the other kind better, but it's good to expose yourself to all types of problems. Yeah, you hear what I'm saying? There's a quiet room today. I don't mean that half of the room. Yeah. So, with that introduction, I'm saying that the question of whether mashlim or maschil is more important is, I don't know if you can go much further than that. It makes sense. It makes sense to me. And that's all we're really looking for. Something that makes sense. We're not looking for a halachic, structural, brisker definition of it. You're not looking for that. It's a question of, does it make sense to favor completion of something over starting something? Some people's personalities, they prefer never to complete things. But Chazal's view, in terms of mitzvah for sure, if you're osek in something already, you should be mashlim. Some people might understand it better if you turn it into the negative, right? To stop something when you're in the middle of it is a greater disregard for the thing than to not start something as quickly. But again, I can only give you make sense out of it. I can only make it sensible. You can't make it mukhrach. You can't make it that has to be this way. That's right. And say, okay, we see from here what Chazal held was the right way to go. You understand what I'm saying? So I mean, we're more of an observer. We're more of a backseat. We have to take a backseat over here. Okay. So, but the question that is meatier, the question that is deeper, that we can gain more from, is the other question. Okay. Why is kavod more important than kriyat shma? Right, that carries more. The first one is just like a very generalized concept. Now, in general, to be mashlim something is better than to be maschil. Right? Well, you can't leave something in order to be maschil something new, if you prefer to put it that way. But the other question is more interesting, because it gets down to particulars. It gets down to particulars. Right? The first way is just general. Second question gets down to particulars. You're dealing with Kriya Shema, and of course, as I cautioned you the other day, don't get too attached to Kriya Shema as a particular, because the Gemara does generalize that. But you're dealing with your Osek in a mitzvah, and now we're saying Mipnei Kavod, you should stop. Mipnei Kavod, you should stop. Assuming that you're not. Assuming that it's not a question of the general maskil versus mashlim. Yeah, so why should that be? It's interesting. I saw Karpach as a, you saw the question of whether you should stop for Kedusha and Kaddish. And, so Karpach has a tshuva from the Rambam that he has a little bit from the Rambam, and he's trying to parlay that into a full-blown theory of the Rambam, which is not 100% backed up from the writings of the Rambam, but he has a certain interesting approach. He wants to say that the point of the Rambam is the usher to stop. Because it's a general rule of osig mitzvah, potter min mitzvah. And osig mitzvah, potter min mitzvah means you can't do the other thing. And the only thing, and these are exceptions. So that begs the question. It's a Shaila Shalom is Meshav Shalom is okay, so what are you going to say? It's a mitzvah? Okay, fine. But I'm also going to mitzvah. So what's the idea over here? You saw the Machlokas in Rabbeinu Yonah? See what I'm saying? If you think of Rabbeinu Yonah, it gives you a little bit of an insight. Into the question. Why? Because let's take the first sheet over there, right? What does the first sheet say? You don't change from Shevach to Shevach. You already know Sikh Shevach. You don't go to another Shevach. But you go to a person? I mean, that sounds even crazier. If you're Osik in Shevach Hashem, don't leave that for another Shevach Hashem. But you leave it for Shevach of an Adam? Right? That way is learning it's Dafka, something about people. It's Dafka because there's a person that is making a demand on you. That's Dafka the din here. Which is interesting. The other pshat is learning it's not Dafka Adam that you stop for, but it's the Inyan of Kavod that you stop for. Correct? Well, let's take one. Anybody have any thoughts on anything here? Okay. But the question is like this. So here's another question. What were you saying, Sprung, basically? Reiterate. What were you saying? Gnai. So here's the question. The question is like this. I think he's right. I mean, he's right. It's that leaving the osik in the mitzvah. So it's a certain bizui to leave being osik, to leave the mitzvah when you're osik in it. That's why you're not allowed to just be mafsik for nothing. And then there's a certain gnai to Adam, right? Not to recognize the person who's chashuv, or to disregard someone who speaks to you. But the question is like this. So is that the halacha over here? That they weighing out covered to the mitzvah versus covered to the adam. That's like you're going according to the first pshat in the Rabbeinu Yonah. That you wouldn't do it for Yemei Yishmei Rabba. Right? Because there's no inyan of adam over there. Right? You wouldn't be masik for, huh? No. Because your theory is it's a special thing about covered to adam. That's the only reason you're allowed to be masik in Kriya Shema. But to answer Kedusha is not a Gnai. But to not answer Kedusha is also not a Gnai. No, it won't work. Then you shouldn't be able to stop. You're saying that you can only stop because it will be a gnai to the one that is coming to you. Which gnai is greater? It's going to work, but we'll leave that go right now. Okay, the other way is to say like this. That there's a particular reason that a person should stop during Kriya Shema. Now, when you're approaching this question, there are two angles to approach the question from. Either like Sprung is saying, that there's some force that demands your stopping, right? Or from the opposite side, that they dafka wanted you to stop for a certain reason, because if you wouldn't stop, it would be expressing the wrong concept. In other words, let me put it like this. I don't know, something you have to think about. But it's possible to say, yeah? Right. I don't know. I mean, this is a bit of a speculative point. I mean, because we're trying to figure out what Chazal saw to be matir this. What was their motivation to be matir? It's in their hands, but what was their motivation? So I was thinking like this. Let's take the starting point of Osig Mitzvah Chotem Min HaMitzvah, right? So we don't say that we're going to value one mitzvah over another mitzvah. We don't say that. We say, if you're Osig, like the Rambam, like the David said, even a mitzvah kala, right? You don't say, well, I'm just doing a mitzvah kala and there's a bigger mitzvah here, I'm going to leave it and go to the other one. Right? In other words, there's a certain equality of mitzvahs. We don't rate them and say it's more important to be involved in that mitzvah than this mitzvah. They all have a certain character of mitzvah, and you don't leave one for another. Okay. So why would that not apply here? Okay. So let me give you a little bit. I don't know. You tell me what you think. If a person would not stop mitnei hakavod, or to be meishav l'chol adam, it could cause a serious error in his thinking. It could cause a serious error in his view of Torah. Okay? If a person doesn't stop when he's involved in one mitzvah for another mitzvah, that's correct, because they all are on equal footing. Can't say one mitzvah is less of a mitzvah than another mitzvah. There's no such thing. Right? But if a person were osek in a mitzvah, Kriya Shema, Megillah Hallel, and somebody would say, and it was at an equal point where it's not a question of being maskular or mashlim, but they're presented to him now as two equal things, and he has to continue in the mitzvah, it might create a certain impression. It could create a certain impression that mitzvah in general is more important than people. You understand? Osek mitzvah patur ben mitzvah doesn't create any categorical distinction, because they're all mitzvah. But in Torah there are different. But in Torah, there is a certain unification in the Torah person of the system of mitzvah and the group of Klal Yisrael as a whole. And within that group, there are people who who signify Torah and mitzvah, people who you're chayav kavod to, and then there's the average person. But they're all components. They're all important components in Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael really rests on three important components. Has the body of law that regulates the behavior. You have the chachamim who guard it and teach it, and you have the people who are the body of the Am. Okay. There's a certain danger. There's a certain attitude that you see of supreme of extreme piety. There's a certain extreme piety where a person feels he is above. He's above everyone else. He's too holy to be involved in mundane people interactions. The world of Adam bin Adam l'chavero is just a bother and not an important thing. And if he could just be osek in bin Adam l'makom all day long, he would be on a higher level. That's something that this din is removing, and it does it with a certain shock. I mean, it's shocking, a little shocking when you first hear the halacha. Are you osek in the mitzvah of Kriya Shema? Even the Rashba says, even if you're going to be mafsik between the bracha and the Kriya Shema itself, and you stop. Because there's a certain natural feeling of no. Now I'm osek in. I am now doing the holy activity, and I cannot recognize worldly. I cannot recognize anybody. I'm aloof. I'm above. Nope. Even though you're osek in a mitzvah, but there is an equal component. There's another component here that's also important. The Torah itself, without people, would not make a Klal Yisrael. Okay, and that's something that this halacha is emphasizing, and something that Chazal felt important to express. Okay, so according to what we're saying, what did Chazal say? So they said like this, that if you're, we still have the idea that there's a difference between a hefsik of maisa and a hefsik in terms of being maskil, right? So they were saying like this, so what are the questions you have? Let's take what? Let's see, you're in the middle of the parsha, right? You're in the middle of the parsha. So if a regular person asks you a question, why can't you answer? That's the question, right? Yeah. Or the corollary to that would be, if you're bein parsha the parsha, why can't you ask she'ela shalom to an ordinary person? Right. To preserve a certain hierarchy, you say. Now, as it comes out like this, that the way you have to relate to people is different. To the chachomim, the ones that you chayev in kavod to, that is a proactive, responsibility. You understand? But to the am, to the hamon, it's a reactive responsibility. There's a different responsibility that you have to each class. You don't have the same. You don't relate to both classes in the same way. To the chachamim, you have to go to them. But to the hamon, you cannot disregard. You cannot disregard them. Trickles down from the chachamim down. They're the ones that you engage. But you should never even be to the point where you feel, this guy is just. I don't even have to recognize him. So the point. So you see, I sort of flipped it around, sprung. I'm saying that it's not that it's the right thing to do, but to not do it would give a wrong impression. And there's a danger of sort of becoming a recluse, a hermit into mitzvah. You know what I mean? And to have the feeling I can just hide from the world in the context of mitzvah. That's wrong. Yeah.
How come it's not?
So that's what they hold. A main Hishmei Rava, there's no reason to do it for. There's no reason to do it for. They were not matir, a hefzik, except to preserve this idea. Otherwise, there's no reason to be mafzik for anything else. Huh? That just goes with the regular, like the Ram says. Osig, misim, potim, and misim. That's it.
Why?
Because here it's one class. It's the class against. It's class warfare. It's mitzvah versus the people. No. That's what he was saying. That's a separate thing. That is to be mafsik and tefillah would destroy the maisa itself. That would be so sad, the very mice of being of a mitzvah of Nei Hashem, that they couldn't do it. There's no other way to do it. And it's not possible. Because the point this Gemara is saying, the way that it would seem the Rambam is learning, is that there's normally you should never stop what you're doing to go to another thing. Why should you? You're osik in this thing. I mean, the Kafach has a tshuva over there. I have to show you again. Where they asked the Rambam, they didn't ask him exactly this question about the Imein Yishmer. They asked him something similar. And he says, nope, you don't leave what you're doing for other things. You're doing a mitzvah, you don't leave this to do another mitzvah.
And why did you choose Kriyat Shema specifically?
Well, it's not this, it's not specifically, why did they leave? Well, that's the Gemara's question. It doesn't seem that they chose Kriya Shema specifically, but where else would it, what other mitzvah of Kriya? I mean, why is it in this case? Huh? I mean, why isn't it like if what? If I'm what? I'm saying Kedusha? See, those things I could answer you, I could get at, those things I can answer you in a. If someone is Mishol Meshav in Kedusha, I would say like this, developing the theory that I'm working with over here, I would say it's only a question in a mitzvah, in the mice of a yachid. If the whole thing is a mice at Sibor, this is not shaykh. Because that automatically is an inyan of Sibor. Tefillah is mice yachid, but that's a different thing. You can't say it in the middle of tefillah, because Amida b'fnei Hashem demands the exclusion of everything else. That's the very maisa of Amida b'fnei Hashem. If you would stop, would be pogeya in the very maisa. But the maisa of Kriya doesn't demand that you don't recognize other people. Yeah.
Right.
No, I'm sorry. You're right. I think we're making a mistake here. Making a slight mistake. By Kol Adam, it doesn't have to do with this. Kol Adam, you don't recognize him at all, unless he is. No, his Kol Adam is different. Kol Adam is that there's no chiyuv to engage Kol Adam, but when he is Shoel, it has a reality in Halacha, right? It has a reality in Halacha. So you're only going, but you have no. But it's not a proactive obligation. So you're only going to recognize him when he presents a situation that's superior to the situation you're in. Right? That's only going to be when he creates a situation of being mashlim when you were about to be maschil. Because he doesn't win out over Torah. Oh, mashlim is always fair. That works with our first rule. That's why we have to have that first rule. That mashlim is always a mashlim that has a reality. He has like his existence is a reality. That's all it is. If he says something to you, it's not like a dog barking. It's an adam. So if he says something to you, it creates a situation of being. He creates an entity that has hashlama to it. So then you go back to your original rule. If you're mashlim. If there's a choice of being mashlim or being maschil, you're mashlim. But be'emtza ha'perek, it's only mashlim and mashlim, and there's no inyan of kavod.
It's not a law concern, though, right?
No, so now it can come out. Now it comes out a little philosophically slightly different, right? It's really that you have a chiyuv to recognize the ishei Torah, right? Now you can't exclude mitzvah. In mitzvah, you can't even when you're osig mitzvah, you have to recognize the ishei Torah. You have to recognize the people who have. Who have a place in Torah itself, right? A little more. That requires a little more thought, but it's an approach. This is an approach. Yeah. But this is according to the first theory in the Rabbeinu Yonah that you would not break for Amenya Shmirava or Kaddish or Kedusha. You would not. This is no reason. They would not tell you to leave one thing. They only tell you to leave one thing to be machshiv the other thing. It's an idea of instilling a certain reality to something that you might ignore. You might by not doing it, we create a wrong impression. But there's no that's only when there are different classes of things. Kavod Adam, what Adam is, and Torah. But between Torah and Torah. No? Between Torah and Torah, no? Why should you stop Shmat? Say Kedusha. Right? Okay. But the other way is to say, the other way is to learn that it's just an inyan of, the inyan of Kavod is greater than, that the inyan of Kavod, right? An inyan of Shevach is greater than a Maisa mitzvah per se. Right? It's the inyan of, it's the inyan of kavod. The inyan of kavod is something to interrupt an asiyas mitzvah. Right? Then you can say, okay, so main yeshmirava is also. You understand? That's the other side of Rabbeinu Yonah. That. And I would try to continue in my path over here, and I would say that there's also. It is also a limud that even something that does not have a particular tzuras hamitzvah sometimes has the chashivas of mitzvah itself. You understand what I'm saying? There's a certain feeling, there's a certain idea that mitzvah itself is perfection. You understand? But this is playing off the mitzvah with a tzura, like a kriya shema, versus a certain derech of Adam, of being mechabed. Not mitzvah versus mitzvah. Main yishmei rabba is ideas of means like a philosophical. Meaning, like this, like the philosophical ideas of perfection versus the perfection of asiyas hamitzvah. Kaddish and kedusha are ideas of philosophical importance, and kriya shema has that too. But it also has, the tzuras hamitzvah, saying you interrupt tzuras hamitzvah for a philosophical involvement. A little bit of a stretch, but okay, yeah. Right. The only difference between the Rambam and the Rush is what? Is Yira. Is whether you hold that what? Whether you hold, I don't know, it's hard machlok to define. Whether you hold there's something that is greater than the entire, this is sort of like Jonah's, that is there something that is more important than the chov itself? Is there anything that's more important than the chov that's doche, the whole mitzvah? Completely. Right. Did they go that far? See, according to the Rambam, it's much better, halachically. Why would they go so far as to say that an inyan of yira is doche the entire chov?
It's a chesed. It's not yarad
the Chiddush of the Rambam is, I don't know why that's such a big, I don't know why that's the problem. You say the Chiddush is that it's only for that Yira. That's the only Yira you could do. I mean, you're right, it is difficult. But you have to say, it's true. I mean, why couldn't, that's the question, why couldn't the Mishnah just keep still? Just talk about Kavod?
Right.
Right. It's a good question. It does seem, though, it's not 100% clear to me that the Rambam is saying it's real Pikuach Nefesh. But I don't know. I have to think about that.
Potential. If you see your king,
right,
you know for sure they're going to kill you.
Right. That's what something Achor, like the Taz has something like that, trying to work out that he's not definitely going to kill you. Maybe you have an obligation to try to talk your way out of it and try to, you know, something along those lines. Right. It's a danger.
The way Rashi says that you're scared.
Rashi's a little harder. It does sound like he's going to actually kill you.
He just says he says you're afraid. I don't know.
What does Rashi say by to be meshiv?
Right. I mean, like,
no, even to be meshiv even for a guy they say, right? So it's more. That comes out differently, right? In terms of Klal Yisrael, there's the entity of there's the body of Torah halacha. They're the ones who preserve it and teach it, and then there's Adam. That comes out. Yeah. Matter of a slight. See, this has nothing to do with the slight. There's nothing to do with the Gnai. Sprung. This is what I wanted to get back. This has nothing to do with Gnai. Not like Kafach is saying that it has to do with Kavod Abrios. Person would understand that this is not the place to talk. Person would understand that. It's not an idea of removing a problem. It's a positive thing of teaching priorities, teaching what is true. And that mitzvah and Adam are and in the end, mitzvah and Adam and mitzvah and chachamim come together in a certain, they do form a certain whole. What I'm trying to say is that it's teaching not to, in your mind, differentiate and say there's mitzvah and then everything else is just sheker. Compared to mitzvah, everything else is sheker. Not true. We live in it's tikkun olam. It's tikkun olam. It's to teach you that. It's not because we're worried that the according to you guys, it should be the bigger of Talmud Chacham he is, the less you should have to respond, because he's not going to feel as bad. Yeah, it does answer you. That's showing you that even in terms of mitzvah is something that is we have to engage in, but so too is preserving the limud of Torah. They're both things. And kavod is an inyan of what is it going to say? You give him kavod because Torah delay. It's his Torah. You can't say I'm going to take the guy to teach me the Torah and then slight him in the but then say that there's have that whole idea. It has to recognize that that they as a component of Torah exist side by side. There's the mitzvah and there's the chacham. Listen, it's an interesting thing. You look through one thing that is interesting to think about is the role of the individual in halacha and in Torah, and I think the individual plays a bigger role than sometimes we appreciate. So, for instance, it's not like science. In science, the individual is just a tool. Either he gets to the truth or he doesn't get to the truth. Right? Either he gets there or he doesn't get there. In halacha, it's not that way. There's a certain primary position of the chacham himself. And I'm not going so far as Das Torah here, but there is a certain idea that if this person is a gadol, his opinion on the matter has on a halachic matter itself has a halachic weight. He's not completely. The person does not relate to a person. A gadol, a tana, an amora. They don't relate to halacha in the same way a scientist relates to nature. They don't. Science exists completely outside of the scientist. But there seems to be a closer connection in Torah.
I don't think Torah is no more important than they're only important because of the Torah that they're teaching. So when you're involved in a halachic performance.
But that's the point. Are they more important? I don't think they're more important.
Why is it that
not more important?
The deduction that you make that people are nothing, chacham are nothing, when you're involved in a halachic performance, like shouldn't that? I just don't understand why it comes to this. Shouldn't that be primary?
Shouldn't what be primary?
According to halacha.
I'll tell you something interesting thing. The Rambam has an interesting tshuva. Someone asked the Rambam. He said that there was a town, and had a shul and a rav in the town, and a new rav came to town. Right? New rav came to town. And this rav wanted to start giving shiurim. Okay? So they asked the Rambam, it's true as Rambam, I think it's in the Pe'er Ador, does he have to get rishus from the Mora d'Astra to teach Torah in the town? Okay? So he says he has to get rishus if he wants to teach in the shul, because it's his shul. And if you're going to tell me it's a mitzvah, he says it's a mitzvah baba vera, something along those lines. Basically saying that if you don't have derech eretz in the way you teach Torah, it's worthless. Okay, so there's a certain idea of it's not just to know what to do and. There's a certain institution of chachamim themselves, and you can't say, well, Marbet's Torah trumps everything. Who cares? Well, he's just an individual. I have to be Marbet's Torah. No, if you're Marbet's Torah, you're trampling on somebody else's kavod, trampling on somebody else's rights. Ram said that's the wrong thing to do. See, that's another type of thing where. This is really that same. It's exactly that same kind of an emotion. The person really wants to. This on a certain level, a person wants to disregard another person. On a certain level, a person wants to feel that he can throw off other people and not be obligated to them in any way. And this halacha is telling you, don't use mitzvah to satisfy that type of desire. There's a danger that if you could do this, it would feed into that type of a desire. Oh, I'm holy. I don't have to. I'm Marbet's Torah. Oh, yeah, I'm going to be Marbet's Torah in your shul. Oh, it's Torah. I don't know. There's a certain derech eretz of the klal. You have to recognize you're going to destroy. You're going to be destroying society. You destroy society, but you teach a lot of Torah. Is that good? No. You can't weigh them out like that. They are both components, and they both have to be recognized as components. And even Besoch, Maisa, Kriyashma, you have to recognize that this person is important for Torah. Not just the ideas that he taught you, but this person is important. For in the eyes of Torah. Because society is a group of people, and the influence of an individual is profound. And if you slight him, and if you bring him down in the eyes of... it's like the Musar of Arthur says, why does a Kohen not go... why can't a Kohen be Metame Lemes? Because a Kohen, I think Rashi said, a Kohen is a teacher. And to be Matami Lemes is like a little bit of a Gnai. So it's going to bring him down in the eyes of the people. If he's Tame, it will impact his ability to be a good teacher. So there's a certain reality that And he can't pretend like we're living on some high idealized plane. And when it's convenient for you and you don't want to give a guy cover, you say, oh, well, we're all philosophers. Well, what difference does it make? You know, we understand. We're above these petty things. It's not true. Even great chachamim are affected by these things. And this person, as an individual, that's the point I was trying to make. As an individual, he's a key element. You can't just say he just teaches and you can't do that. I have to think deeper into this, but there's a certain point. I mean, throughout Shas, it seems to be like that. But there's a certain position of the individual. Yeah, the individual is chacham, but you can't look at him as just a vehicle. He's not just a vehicle of teaching. He is in terms as an adam. He has a certain position. It's not like Harry Truman said. It's not like Harry Truman said. Harry Truman said he doesn't care about Harry Truman. It's the position of president that he cares about, that he's when he fired his general. This is not because he insulted Harry S. Truman. It's because he insulted the office of the president. That's not the halacha. That's not what halacha says. It's because of the person.
A regular person also?
No, not a regular person. A little different. We can't become like communists, do you? That's Korach's argument. Kola does kedoshim.
If you just leave me as chacham, you're saying it has something to do with